Realschulabschlussprüfung Englisch, Haupttermin. Listening Comprehension Test. There are four parts to the test. Now you have got 2 minutes to look at all the four parts. Now look at the tasks of part one, please. Part one, Camp Counselors. You will hear a radio interview with three international students, Sandra, Kevin, and Carol, about working as camp counselors in their summer holidays. You will hear the recording twice. Write the correct name, Sandra, Kevin, Carol, next to the statement. Some names must be used twice.
Hey folks, and welcome to Young Life. Today about being a camp counsellor for young kids in the US. And here with me are Sandra, Kevin and Carol. Carol, is working in a summer camp something everyone can do?
I highly recommend the job, but it's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. It's rather intense, since you're basically on duty 24/7 and quite often feel overworked. You know, with kids wanting to play games until late.
Kevin, what's your experience?
Some people think it's like going on holiday. For me, there were only a few nights I felt really exhausted. And even though sometimes I had to deal with children with scraped knees and bloody noses, I'd say the job's not too challenging.
Sandra, would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with Kevin here. And let me tell you this, you'll never stop laughing because the children's filters simply haven't developed yet, and they'll always tell you what's on their minds. And, as you know, as kids are so truthful, you'll never get bored.
Thanks, Sandra. Kevin, let's talk about the fact that it was not only a job at a camp, but also a job abroad.
Yes. Coming from the Netherlands, I've learned a lot about the American culture. And there are lots of things I'd never have done at home, from donuts for breakfast to adventurous things like bungee jumping.
Carol, what else can motivate young people to do this job?
The thing is, if you do this job only for the money, you might be better off staying at home and working full-time over the summer. Actually, working as a camp counselor is a relatively cheap way to spend the summer in the States, and at the same time gain experiences you'd never want to miss.
Well, thank you all very much. And if you folks out there want to be a camp counselor as well, please check our website.
Now listen to the recording again.
Hey folks, and welcome to Young Life, today about being a camp counselor for young kids in the US. And here with me are Sandra, Kevin, and Carol. Carol, is working in a summer camp something everyone can do?
I highly recommend the job, but it's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. It's rather intense, since you're basically on duty 24/7 and quite often feel overworked. You know, with kids wanting to play games until late.
Kevin, what's your experience?
Some people think it's like going on holiday. For me, there were only a few nights I felt really exhausted. And even though sometimes I had to deal with children with scraped knees and bloody noses, I'd say the job's not too challenging.
Sandra, would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with Kevin here. And let me tell you this, you'll never stop laughing because the children's filters simply haven't developed yet and they'll always tell you what's on their minds. And, as you know, as kids are so truthful, you'll never get bored.
Thanks, Sandra. Kevin, let's talk about the fact that it was not only a job at a camp, but also a job abroad.
Yes. Coming from the Netherlands, I've learned a lot about the American culture. And there are lots of things I'd never have done at home, from donuts for breakfast to adventurous things like bungee jumping.
Carol, what else can motivate young people to do this job?
The thing is, if you do this job only for the money, you might be better off staying at home and working full-time over the summer. Actually, working as a camp counselor is a relatively cheap way to spend the summer in the States, and at the same time gain experiences you'd never want to miss.
Well, thank you all very much. And if you folks out there want to be a camp counselor as well, please check our website.
This is the end of part one. Now look at the tasks of part two. Part 2, Staying in Bangkok. You will hear a presentation about a stay in Bangkok. You will hear the recording twice. One ending to each of the sentences is correct. Mark the correct ending.
My name's John, and I want to tell you about my stayover in Bangkok last summer. Actually, I had planned to fly to Bangkok, just spend one night there, and move on to the beautiful islands as quickly as possible. However, other backpackers convinced me to stay a bit longer. So I stayed for a whole week and ended up in a hostel in the center of Bangkok, in Khao San Road. You can't imagine how noisy it was. I hardly got any sleep until I left. Bangkok's traffic can be a nightmare. To avoid the busy streets, I could have taken a long-tail boat along the Chao Phraya River to get around. Well, I went for an express boat river taxi instead. If you want to travel in the modern part of the city, the SkyTrain is the fastest and cheapest way to travel. I really enjoyed the ride, looking down at the city below. For all first-time Thailand tourists, going by tuk-tuk is a must. You won't believe it, but I managed to get on one of these open, three-wheeled mini taxis straight away. Although it was in the middle of the rush hour, I successfully bargained about the price and got it much cheaper than expected. I knew that it would be loud and smelly, and actually it was so bad I could hardly breathe. But rushing through the busy streets was worth it. One of the things that I couldn't wait to test was Thai street food, which is said to be the best street food in the world. Although my mother had warned me that it could make me sick, I had a delicious meal which didn't do any harm. The food was wrapped in green leaves, and I felt full for the rest of the day. Some food stands offer green plastic seats where you can sit and eat and watch the chef cooking outdoors. Unfortunately, I wasn't lucky with the weather. August and September are the rainiest months of the year because of the tropical climate, but it never gets cold. Next time, I think I'll come in winter when it's dry and not too hot. I probably must save some extra money as it gets packed with tourists at that time of the year and prices can explode.
Now listen to the recording again.
My name's John, and I want to tell you about my stayover in Bangkok last summer. Actually, I had planned to fly to Bangkok, just spend one night there, and move on to the beautiful islands as quickly as possible. However, other backpackers convinced me to stay a bit longer. So I stayed for a whole week and ended up in a hostel in the center of Bangkok, in Khao San Road. You can't imagine how noisy it was. I hardly got any sleep until I left. Bangkok's traffic can be a nightmare. To avoid the busy streets, I could have taken a long-tail boat along the Chao Phraya River to get around. Well, I went for an express boat river taxi instead. If you want to travel in the modern part of the city, the SkyTrain is the fastest and cheapest way to travel. I really enjoyed the ride, looking down at the city below. For all first-time Thailand tourists, going by tuk-tuk is a must. You won't believe it, but I managed to get on one of these open, three-wheeled mini taxis straight away. Although it was in the middle of the rush hour, I successfully bargained about the price and got it much cheaper than expected. I knew that it would be loud and smelly, and actually it was so bad I could hardly breathe. But rushing through the busy streets was worth it. One of the things that I couldn't wait to test was Thai street food, which is said to be the best street food in the world. Although my mother had warned me that it could make me sick, I had a delicious meal which didn't do any harm. The food was wrapped in green leaves, and I felt full for the rest of the day. Some food stands offer green plastic seats where you can sit and eat and watch the chef cooking outdoors. Unfortunately, I wasn't lucky with the weather. August and September are the rainiest months of the year because of the tropical climate, but it never gets cold. Next time, I think I'll come in winter when it's dry and not too hot. I probably must save some extra money as it gets packed with tourists at that time of the year and prices can explode.
This is the end of part two. Now look at the tasks of part three. Part 3. AVs, driverless cars. You will hear a podcast about driverless cars. You will hear the recording twice. Take notes to fill in the table.
Hello, and welcome to my technology podcast. Today, Professor Moore and Mrs. Glenn will inform us about an amazing technology, driverless cars, also called automated vehicles or AVs. Professor Moore, let's have a look at this new technology.
Well, it's not really that new. Most cars already have been equipped with some driverless technology, like the anti-lock braking system, also known as ABS, which helps you stop the car safely on an icy road. Another common feature is parallel parking technology, enabling the cars to park themselves. We've only made existing technology more intelligent.
Ah, that sounds interesting. Can you tell us more?
Sure. Cameras help the car see objects that are close quickly, whereas radar helps driverless cars see things even in complete darkness. And lasers spinning on the roof build a 3D model of the world around the car. That's why no human being will ever be able to react as fast as the AVs. And while human drivers may get tired, the AVs never get sleepy. That's why the number of car crashes and traffic jams will decrease enormously.
That sounds great. But there might be fewer jobs for people like truck drivers?
Well, that's partly true, but it'll also create new jobs in research and development.
Let's now welcome Mrs. Glenn, who's been testing one of these intelligent self-driving cars for some months now. What about your experience so far, Mrs. Glenn?
Actually, in the beginning I was skeptical. I worried about the AV being attacked by hackers or the technology breaking down. Just imagine what could happen if things didn't work properly on a busy road. But nothing has happened so far, and I soon started to realize what the advantages are.
Thank you, Mrs. Glenn. We'll be right back after the break.
Now listen to the recording again.
Hello, and welcome to my technology podcast. Today, Professor Moore and Mrs. Glenn will inform us about an amazing technology, driverless cars, also called automated vehicles or AVs. Professor Moore, let's have a look at this new technology.
Well, it's not really that new. Most cars already have been equipped with some driverless technology, like the anti-lock braking system, also known as ABS, which helps you stop the car safely on an icy road. Another common feature is parallel parking technology, enabling the cars to park themselves. We've only made existing technology more intelligent.
Ah, that sounds interesting. Can you tell us more?
Sure. Cameras help the car see objects that are close quickly, whereas radar helps driverless cars see things even in complete darkness. And lasers spinning on the roof build a 3D model of the world around the car. That's why no human being will ever be able to react as fast as the AVs. And while human drivers may get tired, the AVs never get sleepy. That's why the number of car crashes and traffic jams will decrease enormously.
That sounds great. But there might be fewer jobs for people like truck drivers?
Well, that's partly true, but it'll also create new jobs in research and development.
Let's now welcome Mrs. Glenn, who's been testing one of these intelligent self-driving cars for some months now. What about your experience so far, Mrs. Glenn?
Actually, in the beginning, I was skeptical. I worried about the AV being attacked by hackers or the technology breaking down. Just imagine what could happen if things didn't work properly on a busy road. But nothing has happened so far, and I soon started to realize what the advantages are.
Thank you, Mrs. Glenn. We'll be right back after the break.
This is the end of part 3. Now look at the tasks of part 4. Part 4. The Woman Who Walked the World Alone. You will hear a radio report about Angela Marie Maxwell's journey around the world. You will hear the recording twice. Take notes to complete the cluster.
Back in 2013, a young American artist, Angela Marie Maxwell, was enjoying her life and her work, but she felt something was missing. Then she heard about a man who had walked around the entire world, and got inspired.
I just took a handcart myself, packed my camping equipment as well as some dried food and only very few clothes, and set off.
Maxwell's 6-year journey took her across 4 continents, 14 countries, and a handful of islands. She traveled the whole world without having a real plan, just the desire to get closer to nature. Within the first 4 years, she'd walked around 13,000 miles of her 20,000-mile trip.
I often lived on just $5 a day, which meant I camped most of the time and carried my own food and water.
After meeting some nice people from a certain country, she often got invited, and she simply went to that country next. She says there were countless highlights, including helping to renovate houses in Italy and camel herding in Mongolia.
One of the best experiences I had was when I was asked by an Italian woman to become godmother to her daughter.
However, there were bad experiences too. She had to overcome some illnesses in Vietnam and a heatstroke in Australia. But these were just challenges which made her stronger and more self-confident.
I soon knew that if I could do it, other women could too.
So she decided to upload videos of her journey on the internet, which soon attracted a lot of attention and made people donate over $30,000 for good causes. Throughout her journey, Maxwell learned to live and appreciate a simple life. With her videos and lectures about her journey, she inspires other people to enjoy the little things in life. Although she's happy to be back home, she says she is ready to take off for a new adventure anytime.
Now listen to the recording again.
Back in 2013, a young American artist, Angela Marie Maxwell, was enjoying her life and her work, but she felt something was missing. Then she heard about a man who had walked around the entire world and got inspired.
I just took a handcart myself, packed my camping equipment as well as some dried food and only very few clothes, and set off.
Maxwell's six-year journey took her across four continents, 14 countries, and a handful of islands. She traveled the whole world without having a real plan, just the desire to get closer to nature. Within the first 4 years, she'd walked around 13,000 miles of her 20,000-mile trip.
I often lived on just $5 a day, which meant I camped most of the time and carried my own food and water.
After meeting some nice people from a certain country, she often got invited, and she simply went to that country next. She says there were countless highlights, including helping to renovate houses in Italy and camel herding in Mongolia.
One of the best experiences I had was when I was asked by an Italian woman to become godmother to her daughter.
However, there were bad experiences too. She had to overcome some illnesses in Vietnam and a heatstroke in Australia. But these were just challenges which made her stronger and more self-confident.
I soon knew that if I could do it, other women could too.
So she decided to upload videos of her journey on the internet, which soon attracted a lot of attention and made people donate over $30,000 for good causes. Throughout her journey, Maxwell learned to live and appreciate a simple life. With her videos and lectures about her journey, she inspires other people to enjoy the little things in life. Although she's happy to be back home, she says she is ready to take off for a new adventure anytime.
Now you have got 2 minutes' time to check your answers again. This is the end of the listening comprehension test.